Happy Sabbath again. It is good to see you out there. I did not preface when I was here before about the offering. Each of you should have gotten in your bulletin a religious liberty bond. You don't have to turn it in today. You may pray over it, what you are going to contribute, what you will contribute. They do a great work. They do a work of helping us have someone to represent us when there are religious liberty issues. And of course, they have to be sustained. We ask that you would be as generous as you possibly can, because what we get goes for their sustenance, and it also goes to enlighten those who are out in the field, our representatives and those people who make the laws, so that they know what is going on. That's what religious liberty is all about. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to speak on religious liberty. You know how I debated about whether I would use the DVD or whether I would speak the message. I asked that you would lead me to show me what I needed to do. And I feel honored that you said for me to do it. I pray that as I stand and deliver this message, that it would honor you and give you the praise and the glory that you are due, because all of our religious liberty comes from you. You are the maker and the sustainer of all, and you are going to see us through whatever difficulties arise. But you want us, even right now, to be carriers of your message, so that when things do begin to happen, that people will be aware and they will know that you are in charge and that there is someone to help them. We give you all of the praise and the glory for what is going to be said today. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. So, why are we here this AM? And it is still AM, and I would pray that it is, or is it? Can't see back there. Anyway, I pray that it is not too long that we will be here. But we are here to talk about religious liberty and the freedoms that we have. Why do we continue to emphasize religious liberty? You hear it just about all of the time, especially in the North American division. It's because people need to know that it is still important. You know, there was a story that went around many years ago that these two people decided that they need to go to marriage counseling. They've been married for 30 years. And they went to the counselor, and the counselor looked at the wife first and says, "What's going on?" And the wife says, "He doesn't tell me that he loves me anymore." So then he looked at the husband, and he says, "What's your response?" He said, "Well, 30 years ago, before we got married, I told her I loved her, and if I ever changed my mind, I'd tell her." And he hadn't told her yet. So, you know, that's the way it is with us and religious liberty. We have this liberty, and we just take it for granted. We think that it is there. We think that we don't have to talk about it to those who are really in charge of what is going on. It is our representatives, our councilmen, our mayors, our governors, the president of the, it is those people who are in Congress who are carrying on all of this stupid stuff now, those are the ones who are in charge of our religious liberty. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if we should be really concerned because we are entrusting our religious liberty to them. But we need to know what is going on, and we need to alert others of what is going on so that when things do start to happen, everybody will be informed. And I think I said that already. What does it mean to you and me today, and how does it relate to us? How do we continue to do what we need to do? The first thing that we have to do is to be in His Word. We read from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. If you abide in my word and are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. What does this mean to us? It means that if we have a relationship with the Lord, if we continue in His word, that we can be of some good to somebody. How do we continue in His word? John 15:5 says, I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. You are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bring forth what? Much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. So what we need to do is to stay connected to the vine. We need to stay connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we abide in His word, then He is going to lead us to those whom we need to speak, when we need to speak it, and how we need to speak it. That is through His Holy Spirit that He is going to do it. Remember, in John 18:37, Jesus is speaking or responding to Pilate. Pilate, he says to Pilate, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. Why did he say that? Because so that he should bear witness to the truth. And here's the line, the part that needs to be underscored. Today, everyone who is of the truth should, everyone who hears his voice should be speaking the truth. Christ directs our paths, and he knows to whom we should speak. He knows when we should speak. He knows how we should speak. He knows what we should speak. So we need to be connected to him in order to say the right thing to the right person at the right time. And that's what this thing of religious liberty is all about. Talking to people, our neighbors, talking to our, I want to say aldermen, but our councilmen, talking to those people who have the ability to make and to change the laws. Because just as quickly as a law is made, it can be undone. And sometimes we don't even know that it has been done. The world is full of empty words. People are tired of empty words. People want something that is real. They are looking for something that they can hold on to. And the Word of God is something that we can hold on to. It is the power of God unto salvation. God has told us what to do, and He has told us to whom He will send us. We have to trust the Lord. Let me show you what God told Moses back some 6,000 years ago. Turn with me to Exodus 3. I know you know the story, but let's just review it for a few moments this morning. All scripture, whether it is in the Old Testament, whether it is in the New Testament, is given for by inspiration of God and is profitable for our admonition, for our doctrine. In Exodus 3:11, Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Who am I?" And oftentimes God commissions us to be the voice, to say something to somebody, and we ask that same question: who am I? Why should I be going? But it is because he wants us to do it. He wants you and me to do it. You might say, "I can't do it." But that is what Moses is saying here. He's saying that he can't do it. And you know, God agrees with him. God agrees that he can't do it. But in Exodus 4:10, Moses continues his argument. And if you continue on in the chapter, you will see all the things that God is saying to him. And you would think that after this, he would now let go and say, "Okay, God, I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do." But no, in verse 10, he comes right back to his argument. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant." Now, in other words, he's saying, "Lord, I just saw the burning bush. I just saw your glory magnified. I just heard your voice, but it ain't helping me none." From before and after, I am still not eloquent. Do you hear us? Do you hear me saying, "I can't do that"? Let somebody else do that. Somebody else is capable of doing that. And I see some of you looking in your Bibles. It is not in your Bible. "No, I can't do that." He did say that, but not in the way that I said it. I was paraphrasing. In some places I will be, and I'm sure you understand. But now let's go on and look. He continues to give his reasons. What's happening to Moses here? We want to take him and shake him because it seems as though he's not getting it. "But I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue," in verse 10. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Have not I, the Lord?" In other words, I'm in control of things, Moses. Why are you questioning me, Moses? I'm in control of things. Verse 12 says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." When we make up our minds that we are going to do what God tells us to do, it is not we who are doing it. It is God who is doing it through us. And we must allow him to use us. We can be quivering in those proverbial boots, if you will. I'm not saying that it is not a challenge for us to stand up for what we believe. But when we take the Lord with us, then we do not have a problem because he is going to take care of it. Let's go to the New Testament, where Christ says in Luke 12:11-12, "When they draw you out before magistrates and judges," and it is told that that's going to happen, Don't even think of your defense, because while you're standing on your feet, God is going to put a word in your mouth. We are concerned about, what will I say? I can't talk. That's what Moses says. I can't talk. I will stutter. I will not remember anything of what I read in for stuttering for Sabbath school. I will not remember anything I read in my devotions. I will not remember anything that I have tried to memorize, especially Psalms 91. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it is not we who are speaking. It is God that we are allowing to speak through us. And he has given to us that promise. More than one time, he tells us that he is in charge. God had to remind Moses that the battle was not his, and the battle is still not ours. Sometimes we think that that only applied to Moses and the people in those days back then, but it is for us now. God says, I am in charge, I am in control, I made the world, I fashioned it, I made you before you were in your mother's womb, I made you, and I have counted every hair on your head and numbered it. There are some of us who don't have that much in here to count, but he has numbered every, and I'm not talking about anybody, he has numbered every hair on our head. He knows it. So God is in charge. And so he had to remind Moses of this. Turn with me to Exodus 3 again, and let's look back at verses 7 and 8. The Lord now says to Moses, I have truly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I can still imagine what is going through Moses' mind. Well, Lord, why don't you go ahead and do it then? But that's not the attitude that we need to have. God wants to work through us. He wants us to put feet on the ground and go and tell. That's what Jesus said that we were to do. And when I paraphrase, I'm not being sacrilegious. It's just that we want to make a point here. Continuing in verse 9. Now behold, therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And if you listen, there is a cry out there in the United States and in the world today. People are hurting. They want to know what is going on and what is going to happen, because they see so many things that are unusual happening on a daily basis. We know all about the different crises that are happening around the world. So we have a mission. We have a mission to tell people about Jesus Christ. And that is our part in this religious liberty battle. To tell people about Jesus Christ and tell them that if they accept the message, then they can be saved out of this. It might not be in this world, but they will be saved. And there are those who will accept it. And that's all right, because that's what religious liberty is all about. Religious liberty is about yours and my ability to make choices that nobody can tell us when we are to worship and where we are to worship or how we are to worship. We hear those cars going by out there right now. There are some who are preparing diligently to go to church on the morrow. Their hearts, in some cases, are in the right place. But we know that there is something else that they need to know. And that is the way, that is what he wants us to do. Now, he doesn't want us to go out there and say, if you don't go to church on Sabbath, you're going to burn in hell. No, there is a way to do everything. And that is what is being talked about. Or that is what the role of religious liberty is, to have us present the message, to present what is going on in the way that it should be presented. The freedoms that we go after are not freedoms that we are generating by our effort. They are freedoms that God has given to us. We were made in his image. He is a free God, and he made us in his image. Constitutions can't give us freedom. They can write as many bills of rights as they want to, but that cannot make us free. We are free through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The signature of the penman that signed the original Constitution can be X'd out in a minute. And that is what is happening in some of the state houses and some of the legislature in the United States. There are bills that are on the books. There are laws that are on the books that are even now being changed. We may not be aware of it, but in that back room, so to speak, these kinds of things are going on. We need to be aware. We need to be talking to our family, to our friends, to our loved ones. We need to be challenging them. You have the right to religious liberty. You have the right to worship the way that you choose. But, and there is always that but, because we know what the right way is, and we know what is soon going to happen. So Moses, this is God talking to Moses again. You're going to speak to Pharaoh. You're going to proclaim my message. He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to listen. He's only going to listen after I have done my wonders with him. So this is not your case, Moses. This is mine. Let me handle it this way. It is God who sets us free, and we are asked to be his voice. Because Moses could have done all in his power to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, but he couldn't do it. It was God who was going to do it, but he needed Moses as a mouthpiece. Can we be God's mouthpiece today? Can we do what he asks us to do? The little bit is to talk. Some of us don't have any problems doing that anyway. But we don't have to fight the literal battle, because read the end of the story. The battle has already been won. We know that Jesus is going to come. We know that he's going to take a people back with him. Whether we say anything or do anything at all, the Holy Spirit is going to convict, and he will guide us and them into all truth. Sometimes, I said this before, when we come into the light, we feel that we have arrived and we can rebuke those who are still seeing what we are seeing. But God does not want us to have that attitude. That was the attitude of the Pharisees. Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, still in darkness. I pray and I fast and I do this and I do that. God wants us to be humble and share the message that he has given us, his message of freedom and love. You know, I think of great men and women of history who have spoken fearlessly for their causes. Mahatma Gandhi, who spoke for the freedom of Indians to break away from British rule. I think of Martin Luther King Jr., who spoke for the abolition of the racial prejudices, the laws right here in the United States. I think of Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, all of these great names of history that stood out and spoke against what they saw as wrong. And some of them lost their lives for it. And I'm not saying that maybe some of us might be on that battlefield and our lives may be challenged. But we know if we go to sleep what our next vision is going to be, right? Our vision is to see Jesus coming in the clouds of glory. That's not new to us. John the Baptist said, you should not have your brother's wife. He was talking to whom was he talking? Herod. So sometimes we have to go right to the top, don't we, and speak bold words. But we know who is behind us, right? And we know who gave John the Baptist those words that he should say. He didn't go in there on his own. He wouldn't have gone. He had to have the Holy Spirit behind him. Let us not let history shame us, because the message that we are proclaiming has eternal consequences. And if these people could stand for something, those that I just mentioned, that had less consequences and risk their lives for it, then surely Christ knew what he was saying when he said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Luke 16, verse 8. So let's come into the light and not embarrass our Savior and speak freedom boldly. Because the freedoms that we are speaking of is a freedom from sin. It's freedom of conscience. It's freedom to think as you wish to think. Freedom to have religion or not to have religion. Freedom to make your own choice. And that's what God has given to each one of us. But every choice has its consequence. Because the judge of all says that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, if my neighbor's house is on fire, I'm not going to try to text him because I can't do it anyway. I'm not going to try to send him an email because my computer is still down. But I'm going to go, decrepit as I am, and break down that door, right? And say, come out of there because your house is on fire. You don't want your neighbor to get burned up. You don't want your neighbor to get burned up. You don't want your neighbor to get burned up. You don't want your neighbor to get burned up. So what are you going to do? You're going to break down that barrier. You're going to put on your coat of religious armor and religious freedom and get out there and tell people the good news. And that's what religious liberty is all about. It is that everyone will know that they have a right to choose, and no law, or no congressman, or no president, or no one who's sitting on a golden throne with a scepter in his hand saying, this is the way that it must be. No bishop, no, well, you know what I'm talking about. Do you want a relationship with God or not? Because all trouble is going to do is to harden us in our choice. That's all it's going to do. The same sun that hardens clay melts wax. So we need people to make a choice as to where they stand before the times of trouble start. So my charge to you and to me is to share Jesus with a dying world and let freedom ring. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have had to speak the word, to speak the truth. We pray that it has fallen on fertile ears, on fertile ground, and that we will go and let freedom ring. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.